And welcome back in. The debate, first debate, took place last night, sponsored by the Tennessean, sponsored by Channel 5, League of Women Voters, the Nashville Public Television, you know, all those conservative outlets that made sure that the panel was properly composed. Larry Woods with us to help break down the debate, Democratic Party activist, lawyer, and longtime friend and media colleague of mine. We're going to be on Channel 5 Plus, their political show at 9 o'clock Friday together. We'll break this down at that time. But we get a little head start here. When you looked at the politics last night, to me, Larry, one of the key moments was when Phil Bredesen declared that he would not vote for Chuck Schumer for a majority leader. Do you believe him?
Oh, yes. Bredesen's the kind of guy, he tells it like he sees it and feels it. Just like later in the debate, he said, look, Obama was mad at me, and you and I both remember Bredesen was considered for appointment by Obama to his cabinet, and Bredesen came out with an interview with the New York Times saying, well, of course, I'd be honored, but Obama's got to change his mind on these six things about health care because he's wrong on all of them. Bredesen speaks what he says. He really does.
That would be the Obamacare Act that Bredesen was then defending last night as well, right? The same one that he was critical of when he got in trouble with Obama. But what happens if he votes against Schumer? Is he going to have like an office over in Fairfax instead of on Capitol Hill? I mean, you're not going to be a player. You're not going to have any influence.
You and I know how that works. He'll probably have an office out in Northern Virginia someplace if Schumer controls it and he doesn't vote for him. But frankly, you know, from my point of view as a Democrat, that's what I want. I want somebody who's going to vote for Tennessee and vote for what they believe is a good policy. And if Schumer disagrees, too bad, Schumer.
Do you see anything?
Nobody should be scared of Schumer.
Do you see anything in Phil Bredesen's character, past, integrity, spine that indicates he's going to be tougher and more capable of standing up to Chuck Schumer and the Democratic crazies from Spartacus Booker to Pretendi and Elizabeth Warren and Dianne Feinstein? Joe Manchin can't do it. Do you think Phil Bredesen's tougher than Joe Manchin?
Absolutely. Listen, when Bredesen was governor and, as you know, balanced the budget all 8 years.
Wait. You have to balance the budget. It's a requirement in the law you balance the budget. You have to do it. That's nothing to proclaim.
He didn't do it with funny numbers. He didn't do it with math that, you know, didn't add up. He actually went in, he cut health care. And he cut health care over the protests, the bitter protests of people like me, of every Democrat who's, you know, fought for Obamacare, et cetera. It wasn't Obamacare when he was in office, but the national health care. He was excoriated, tortured by the liberal Democrats in the state when he cut health care. And Bredesen very calmly would say every time I'd raise it with him and others, look, it has to be done. The money's just not there.
It was his second choice,
really,
though.
He is that kind of person. I mean, his pledge about, look, I'm going to go up there, I'm going to vote with Trump when he's right, I'm going to vote against him when he's wrong, that really is Bredesen through and through. I've known the guy for 30 years, and That is really his conscience speaking.
Now, throwing 300,000 people,
with how he votes, but you know he's going to vote the way he sees it.
Throwing 300,000 people off of their health care did cause some consternation among you and some of the others. But it was his second choice. He first wanted to raise taxes, and when he realized that with Republicans in control of the House, having already seen that battle over a state income tax, that there was no possibility there, he realized he had to cut rather than raise taxes. But his first inclination was typically Democrat, Larry, to raise taxes.
Well, here's what he didn't do. Marsha Blackburn last night said in the debate, said, I'm for a balanced budget, I'm for cutting taxes, I'm for reducing the debt, and oh, by the way, I want to spend more money on rural hospitals and telemarketing and digital medicine and emergency rooms freestanding and more money for the military. Typical political talk. I mean, all of us know you can't do all those things. You have to make choices. And again, I disagree with the choice Governor Bredesen made about health care, but he made it work. And he was upfront and honest about it. So, you know, again, that's sort of his theme that he's running on for the Senate. Is it going to work? I don't know. I haven't seen his internal polling. I mean, you would know better than anybody because you get to see the internals on your polling. I guess what, it's a dead heat realistically right now?
The challenge for Blackburn and the challenge for Bredesen is that this is a red state. Tennessee, just in a generic ballot, a Republican candidate for Senate will win by 10 or 12 points. And if Marcia gets the Republicans, then she wins. Phil Bredesen, in my view, Larry, has to make this a local election where I like Phil. And that's not where it's going, because the Democrats, particularly with the Kavanaugh hearings going on, they're turning this into a national election.
That's right.
And that's not good for Phil Bredesen.
I agree with you 100%.
Oh, then I must be wrong.
The candidate does, too. But, and you know, there's some opportunities there to make it more local or more focused on Bredesen's theme about how dysfunctional Congress is. For example, when they got into the opioid crisis debate and the drug addiction problem, and Marsha Blackburn's reply, her defense on the bill she co-sponsored to partially block the DEA efforts was, look, it was a unanimous vote, is what Marsha Blackburn's saying, and I think she's right about that, and that ought to be in Bredesen's next ad. That's what's wrong with Congress. They don't read the bills they vote on. They just, oh, well, everybody says this is a good bill. Okay, I'll vote for it. If I ran my business that way, if you and Mike ran Tennessee Star that way, we'd be out of business next week. I don't care if it was a unanimous vote. That's an indictment of 90% of the Congress that it was unanimous vote.
Or it indicates that it really wasn't that controversial. And the DEA and the law enforcement officials have had 18 months to 2 years to come out with a report that we're still waiting for that says this was a bad idea. They still can't identify that allowing more access for legitimate distribution of opioids is a bad idea. And that was the real issue. You know, do you let the law enforcement people restrict people who need the opioids, getting them from legitimate doctors, whether or not that was the right balance? And there's been nothing come out to show that it wasn't the right balance.
Now, Steve, next you're going to be telling me that Lane Kiffin and Dooley were great football coaches.
Now, we'll never go that far. There's not enough opioids in the world for me to ever say either one of those things.
Yeah, I agree with you.
The other problem for Phil, I think, from last night's debate is this issue of the Second Amendment. You know, he's touting his A rating from the NRA years and years ago, the current NRA rating based upon his position on restrictions that he wants to impose on guns that go along with Bloomberg and Schumer and the rest of the Democrats in D.C. have given him a D rating from the NRA. Marcia gets an A+. That's an issue that plays big in Tennessee. I know not in your circles, but in most of red state Tennessee, being endorsed by the NRA carries more weight than getting a D from the NRA.
Now, I politically agree with you. As a student of politics, I think you're right. And I think if Bredesen were in on this conversation right now, if he'd had the time last night, I think he would say about the NRA endorsement or NRA positions the same things that he says about President Trump. When the NRA is right, I'm going to vote with them. When I believe they're wrong, I'm going to vote against them. I mean, that's why he doesn't get the highest rating from them. And therefore, it's just like in his closing statement in his standard campaign speech, if you want somebody to go up there and be partisan and just vote the party line, don't vote for me. I'm not that guy. And he's at an age and a status in his life where he's not going to change.
But if he's not going to challenge them by name, I mean, again, you've got the Maxine Waters, you've got the Chuck Schumers, you've got the Pocahontases, you've got all these guys that are...
Others need to do that. But it's, and others need to do this.
He needs to call them out and condemn them because
but
I guess
wait,
my
I like
problem.
Pocahontas, she's my candidate in the presidential.
But was she going to wear the full headdress at the Thursday hearings and have Cory Booker wear the toga?
I've known Senator Elizabeth Warren since she was in college. She'd look great in a chief's headdress.
And she's a full-on liberal,
wait,
Larry, which is why you like her.
Let me say one minor thing, and I don't mean it as criticism. I'm just surprised. I was surprised at how Congressman Blackburn looked last night on television. A gray suit jacket, a gray top with a white blouse or shirt. I don't want to say it was dull, but it was awfully close to that. And she's a very attractive person, and obviously part of the television performance is appearance. It really surprised me. I was expecting her to come out in red blue would look good on her, but since that's the Democratic color, I guess she can't do that. We men get stuck with dark suits. Not much we can do about it. But I really was surprised that I don't know, she seemed a little tired to me. And in fairness to her, if I were campaigning across the state, I'd be tired too.
And I think he was low energy as well. Again, it's a grind, yeah, and he's at an age when it is probably, you know, he's low energy. I have to tell you, I may be wrong today because we've agreed on virtually everything. When I watched Marsha's appearance, it was the same thing. And it was on my TV, it was more of a light tan suit. On TV in the newspaper, it looks like it's a dark gray suit, but it was a light tan with a cream top, and it washed her out. You know, Phil Bredesen has notoriously always worn brown suits, and they couldn't get him to stop. Last night, he's in a navy suit with a red and blue striped tie. So, I mean, he's clearly catering to that, even that visual appeal of across the aisle.
He's listening to people like me, so you know he's in trouble.
Well, and I'm the last guy in the world that any woman should listen to on fashion advice, but I do think that the color washed her out a bit, and I have to admit, I was a little surprised at that as well. Larry Woods, we'll catch up with you Friday on Channel 5 Plus with some more political commentary. We'll get you back again soon, and thanks for your insights.